it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Jared's answer, and I'm glad he has confidence. I don't know what he's going to say. Yeah, I don't know about those guys, but we wanted to ask him the question anyway. Because I think it's okay to be paying attention to Morton and Shepard and everything that's new about whether or not they can do what previous groups have done. Because they've been really good. They've been a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They haven't brought it home, but they've been a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Will they bounce back? Will this group also bounce back?
Look, that game, they got smacked in the mouth right away, and then they continued to get bum rushed throughout the game. And when the game was over with and got doubled up in the score, you know, that's a team that's limping back to the locker room, getting on the plane, and they're like, wow, what just happened? Well, now they can address it. They can look internally, figure things out, and be honest with each other about what the problems are and go ahead and fix them. And I like hearing that the quarterback who's the leader of this offense, which struggled, does not seem panicked. I liked hearing Dan Campbell this morning. He is not panicked. He wasn't panicked after the game. Neither was Jared Goff. Well, they know that this team has to play better. They know they can play better. And it sounds like they have a pretty good grip on what has to improve, what those areas are. And it doesn't seem like it's a personnel issue. It seems like it's an execution issue. And
well, they're emphasizing that. I'm not as convinced that that's not the case in a couple positions. But, you know, they think they can fix it with the dudes they have. And we'll see if that's the case. Jared Goff joining us earlier here on 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. All right, here's some reaction. Peter and Shelby says, Goff's demeanor changed when talking about play calling questions. Clearly, they've heard the noise and aren't happy about it. I want some clarification, Peter. Do you mean they've heard the noise and they aren't happy about the play calling, or they aren't happy about the noise? What do you mean by that? You think clearly that Jared Goff, I want clarification here because there's a big difference. Is he not happy about the complaining about the play calling, or is he not happy about the play calling?
Or the question.
Well, sometimes you got to ask the questions, but listening to Goff makes me feel much better. I can't say exactly why, but it does. He's the same guy as always, and it gives me some confidence going forward. It's from an unnamed texter. Tim on the road says, Goff sounded annoyed and pissed. All he wants to do right now is light up the Bears and pull a Kirk Cousins on you guys next Tuesday. You like that? You like that? I love it. That's my quarterback. That's from Tim. Alex says, after that interview and going by recent history, I think we're going to see a totally different team on Sunday. This team is too talented, too motivated, and too competitive to have a repeat of this past weekend. Alex and Fenton. Here's one thing to keep in mind. We are all striving for the same thing, right? A Super Bowl. Imperfect teams win the Super Bowl. Keep that in mind. Every fan base has a concern. Last year, Philly got ripped for sitting out the trade deadline. Every team has a concern here or there. We kind of know what ours are. Which ones do we think don't need massive changes that will get better over time? I'm going to stick with the pass rush and the secondary. I worry most about the interior of the offensive line. That's me, but we'll see what happens moving forward.
Well, I mean, the Eagles are operating right now. They have a sense of urgency, so I'm sure Lions fans see that. and they'll react to that. When they go out and sign Za'Darius Smith after the first week of the season, and then they go out and trade for Bigsby last night, whatever, that's how they're going to operate. And they've done something different with how they deal with the salary cap than other teams. It's going to be with voidable years or whatever it is, and it might be a model of things to come, but we'll see. I do think there's going to be a sense of urgency for the Lions if it shows to be a pattern. If this continues for the next several weeks and this team goes 1-4 through the first five games, yeah, there could be an issue. There could be a real issue. I'm not going to overreact to what I saw on Sunday. It wasn't good. But I'm also going to try to put it in perspective and understand that Green Bay is a really good football team. And this is the first game that we got to see this new offensive line for the Detroit Lions. It's going to take a little time. And
first
I'm going
to
give them a little bit
of it too.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a little bit of grace and see where they go. But was not a good look for sure. Now, watching the game last night with the Bears and the Vikings, did the Bears defense, does that look as formidable as the Packers defense did? I didn't think so. And this game will be at home. I think this is going to be a very spirited affair between both teams. There's plenty of motivating factors in both teams to get the job done. But for the Lions, I can't imagine anybody's more motivated than the Lions are, because they got embarrassed in Green Bay and now they're coming home. They know what's at stake.
248-539-9797. Dimitri in Southfield. What's up, Dimitri?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, you know, people that are worried about losing Ben Johnson, AG, I remember when Philly lost their coordinators after they went to the Super Bowl. They lost Steichen and Gannon. And, you know, Colts were looking like world beaters with Richardson after the first couple weeks. But the end result was the Eagles ended up going to the Super Bowl. And we're the Colts now. So people just need to relax, I think.
Well, I mean, look, if you were talking about the Eagles as a template, the Eagles were 2-2 last year after four games. You know, the seasons are long. Yeah,
I had the same kind of center problems as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got to – whether or not they address it in-house or out-of-house, I don't know. I'd like to see the interior of the offensive line addressed. I'd like to see – and then – let me see. Address is wrong. I want to see it get better. And if that means they have to address it, I wouldn't wait too long. Whether it be a trade or a shuffle, you can shuffle.
Well, what you don't want to see are more obvious missed assignments. When we as fans can see there's a missed assignment, it's obvious, right? The team knows for sure how many missed assignments there are, and it could be something as simple as, hey, I handed this guy off to you and you didn't pick him up. And you almost got the quarterback hit, but it they end up getting past it. There's a lot more plays, I think, that get missed that we all ever know. But it's the obvious ones. I don't want to see those anymore. Nobody wants to see those anymore, and the players don't want to see it either. That's what has to be addressed first and foremost. I don't think it's necessarily a talent issue. We're going to be auditioning who's going to play at center and who's going to be playing at guard. I think they have that right now. They know this right now. But those guys have got to get it together. And it's not just them. I mean, there's some of that's on Sewell, some of that's on Decker as well, and some of it's going to be on the running backs. You know, if they're going to stay in or block, and the same thing with the tight end, everybody has to know who's accounted for on that defensive line.
From an unnamed texter, the great Hank Fraley was also the coach last week, LOL.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So why do you think literally every single coach in football says the same thing about week one to week two? Why do you think they all say the greatest improvement you make is between week one and week two? And every team does make improvement between week one and week two in some way. It's because they have actual game film and know what they need to address. They can tell what went wrong. They can identify weaknesses that aren't always shown in practice. And you know what? What gives somebody a great reputation as a position coach is the ability to make changes. And if this person who sent this text thinks that it is unusual to have one rookie, one guy with limited experience, and another guy that is aging, he thinks it's unusual for them to not look great the first time out. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't expect them to look great the first time out. I did not expect them to look like that. And now it needs to get addressed. Who do you want to put on the job? I think Hank Fraley has earned a reputation for a reason. Mark in Ann Arbor says, I doubt they can get back with the talent they have. Can your worst graded lineman replace an all-pro center and two inexperienced rookies flanking him and an aging left tackle to boot? I have sincere doubts. We have no choice but to watch them try. Well, one guy's not a rookie, but he is limited in his career.
He's effectively a rookie.
The other one is aging, yes, but he was still pretty good. Not in, just collectively last year, I thought he was pretty good. But, I mean, this is taking, like, the worst version of this group and saying this is who they are now. It's the only thing we have to go on. I get it. It's tempting to do. I'm not there. Drew in Rochester, all issues should have been addressed, resolved in the preseason. They've done themselves a disservice trying to bring everyone up to speed now. That's on coaching. Did you hear that question for Dan Campbell, Drew? I don't know if you heard the morning show asked Dan Campbell that question, and he sounded like he was, like, open to it. Like, you know, it's something we can think about, playing guys in the preseason more. We'll play for you in the noon hour. We'll bring the best of what Dan Campbell told our morning show in the noon hour. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. All right, just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Audacy app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Also, streaming to our website, 971aticket.com, where Evan has posted the Champ and Chump of the Weekend as selected by the people. Get your champ. Go check it out at 971aticket.com. You can stream with video. Go to twitch.tv and youtube.com. At any given time, you don't know what they're talking about on the live streams there. The most recent post is womp, 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 womp goal.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, but there's always ongoing conversations on YouTube and on Twitch. 248-539-9797.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.